Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together again. Haven't been around much recently. I've been very, very busy, but hopefully we can get ourselves back into the full swing of things again. We're going to be turning through to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 as we draw near to the end of that. Romans 15. We'll be starting at verse 14, but before we read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which is rich and true. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this to us, that God, you would encourage our hearts, that we might see truly and understand what you have to say. We long to be conformed to Christ, and so would you feed us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 15, starting at verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Well, I don't know about you, but I really hated goal setting when I was at school. There was nothing I loathed more than when our teachers said, we're going to be doing a goal setting exercise. And you'd have to sit down and write out your, you know, 6 month goal and your 1 year goal and your 5 year goal and what your goal was for going into workforce and all this sort of stuff. And I'd never know what to write. And I couldn't stand it. And I always pushed back and got upset at my teachers when they made us do it. And for most of my life, I continued in that obstinate attitude. I refused to do it. And whenever I saw videos talking about it, I would say, this is nonsense. It doesn't help. I don't want anything to do with it. And there's a part of me which still has that. But overall, I have come to learn that if you don't have a goal, you're never going to hit it. And maybe for you, that's a positive. You can just say, well, if I don't aim, I don't hit. And therefore, I can just go along my life in merry way. But the reality is, if we don't have a goal set before us, we don't know what we're striving after. And we often end up striving after the wind. We end up aiming in the complete wrong direction. We're like the bowman, who doesn't know what he's meant to be shooting at, who's just randomly sending arrows in every single different direction. Well, you know, the same thing can be said for the church, and for gospel ministers, and really for all of us as we engage in Christian ministry. What is the goal? What are we aiming for? Because if we're not aiming for the right thing, we're going to be chasing the wrong things. If we're not pursuing what God would have us pursue, then we're potentially pursuing what God doesn't want us to chase after. And we can be sowing into the wind, casting our pearls before swine. So we need to have in our mind, as churches, as denominations, as individuals, and as church ministers, what it is that we should be striving for. And Paul helps us think through that by showing us what he strived for. Now, the point is not that every single church should have the exact same focus. There is a place for having the things you focus upon being contextual. If a church exists in a community which is very close to a prison and has a lot of people coming in and out of prison, then obviously things like prison ministry are going to be very relevant. If you're a rural community church, you're going to have a different focus than a city church. However, the overarching goals that drive those decisions should be the same. And so I want us briefly today to consider what Paul's aim was as he ministered among the Gentiles, because he's specifically talking about the Gentiles in this section. What was his goal as he did gospel ministry? Because that will inform us of what our overarching goals should be as we minister in the church, into our communities, and our churches seek to pursue the glory of God. So what things does Paul point to in this section here that help us understand what his goal was? Well, firstly, we see that he pursued that people would be filled with goodness and kindness. Have a look at verse 14 with me. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers. So he's saying this is something that's true of you, something I'm very glad to hear about. You've got to remember this is coming after quite a severe, heavy letter addressing some real problems in the church. And so he's saying, look, it's not all bad. There's some stuff that's going on great. Verse 14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. So if this is something he's pleased about, obviously it's something he would be aiming for. He wouldn't be saying that I'm really glad about this if it wasn't something he cared to pursue. And there's two aspects to what he says here, goodness and knowledge. You see, churches can sometimes focus on one or the other. They can say, look, what we really need to make sure is that we're good and loving and kind to people. The word for goodness could be translated as kindness, an affection and a warmth and a helpful attitude towards other people. So maybe you've heard people talk about the social gospel before, the idea of reaching out and caring for the community around you. If we would just care for the community around us, then people would believe in Jesus. And we need to care for people around us. The entity that should be the most caring and the most loving in our communities should be the church. We should be marked by goodness. We should be pursuing that. But it's not goodness alone. He doesn't just say, I'm satisfied that you have goodness, but he's satisfied that they have goodness and that they're filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. You see, some churches will focus heavily on knowledge. We need to teach the people. It doesn't matter if they're doing good things or if we're caring for the community, as long as we teach our people. And that would be a wrong error to fall into as well. We need both. We need Christians who are filled with goodness in the way they treat one another and as the way they treat the world. However, they must also be built up and filled with knowledge, correct thinking, correct understanding. And not just filled with it, but filled with it in such a way that they're able to instruct people. One of the marked differences between the church and cults and sects and other religions is that we don't teach that we just have one guru who instructs us. But we are all called to mutually build one another up, to mutually teach one another. And so together as a community, we need to be expressing goodness and kindness to each other and to the world around us, but we should equally be building one another up in the faith, educating each other, helping one another see rightly. And this isn't just only on the gospel, this is on everything, on all matters. This is why Jesus says in Matthew 28 that part of making disciples is to teach them to obey everything I have commanded, Jesus says. And so we as a church community, while we're doing good, should be instructing one another to obey the commandments of Christ. So Paul says one of his goals, we can see from this, is to build up the church so that it would be filled with goodness and filled with knowledge. But then also we see that in verse 15 and 16, he's aiming for the Gentiles to be acceptable, an offering which is sanctified. Have a look with me. On some points I have written to you very boldly by the way of reminder. By the way, if you ever get tired of your minister reminding you all the time, know that you stand in good stead, because both Peter and Paul say, I love to remind you about things. Because of the grace given to me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So Paul describes himself as engaging in a priestly ministry. He's not saying that because he considers himself to be a priest and that we should have priests like you have in the Anglican Church and in the Catholic Church. Rather, he's saying the role he's working out is like that of a priestly ministry. What were one of the main things that priests did? Priests offered sacrifices. They offered up offerings, gifts to God. And Paul says, I'm engaging in offering giving, gift giving to God. And the way I'm doing that is by offering up the Gentiles as obedient and sacrificed, as an obedient and acceptable. Not obedient either. Acceptable and sanctified. There we go. We got there in the end. So he says, I'm offering up the Gentiles. Very, very similar to what Jesus does in Ephesians 5. He describes Jesus as washing the church to present her blameless to God. And so Paul says he is working, he's striving in the church to present a people who are acceptable. You see, it's not enough for us to just sit back as a church and say, well, it doesn't really matter how Christians live and how Christians act as long as we preach the gospel. That's not enough. But we need to be working with people to bring them through the process of sanctification as the Spirit works inside them. You know, that journey is long, lifelong, but we are to be a part of that. We are to be striving to see brothers and sisters grow in holiness, grow to become more like Jesus. So we see that Paul is striving for goodness, knowledge, and sanctification. But then he's also striving for obedient Christians. Have a look at verse 18. In Christ, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. Verse 18 now. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. And then he talks about how he does that. By word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around. Pause there. So, he's striving to bring about the obedience of the Gentiles. What's meant by that? Well, often when Paul talks about obedience of a group of people, he's thinking of salvation. Now, he's already talked about sanctification, so we know he's not putting obedience off as something that's not important. But I think he's specifically talking about the Gentiles responding by faith to the call of the gospel and being saved. This is what Jesus uses. He uses the word obedient too. He talks about people being obedient to his Father, and his Father's will is that everyone would believe in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And it's that idea, I think, that Paul picks up here. The goal is not to make churchgoers, but the goal is to make justified saints. The goal is for people to come and believe in Christ. So we're looking for striving at goals that bring about goodness, that bring about knowledge, that bring about obedience to salvation, and that bring about sanctification. But then there's one more in this passage, and that is the preaching of the gospel. Have a look at verse 19 and onwards as we were just reading. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, should have practiced saying that a few times before we started, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So, Paul's goal is to take the gospel to places where it hasn't been heard. Now, obviously, it's important for us to continue preaching the gospel in places where he has been heard of before. We see that with the other apostles. However, whether we're preaching like Paul, going out into the unconverted nations, into the people groups that have not heard of Christ, or whether we're proclaiming the gospel into our workplace, the goal is the same, that Christ would be proclaimed to the nations. Paul's goal is to carry forth the gospel of Christ to wherever it needs to be heard. And so we see here, in a nutshell, at the end of the day, a summary of Paul's goal. And what is that goal? to fulfill the great commission of Christ, to go into all the world and to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that Christ has commanded. That's effectively the summary of what Paul's saying here. And it should be the thing that's driving us in our churches, to bring people into baptism, to bring people into discipleship, to bring people into obedience, and to do it throughout the whole world. And all of us have a part to play in that, whether it's in our workplaces or homes, or whether it's supporting missionaries, or whether it's going abroad ourselves. So let us work with zeal to write goals and focus upon things that really matter. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Pray that my bumbling over words wouldn't be a distraction, but would have helped us to see the truth of what's in this text. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.